Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning. Big welcome to everybody this morning. Some of you are here for the first time. You've been invited to come along to our service. We welcome you. We welcome you this morning. Praise God for His goodness and His mercy to us. If you've got a Bible with you, you can open up Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read a few verses from this passage. And I want to share with you this morning, as we get closer to Christmas, I want to share with you this morning, Jesus the Son. Jesus the Son, S-O-N. And how His very nature as the Son, and what it means that God purposed at some point in history to send His Son into this world. What does that mean for us today? It's, you know, something like 2,000 years later. And we read about it today, we read the Bible today, we understand it a little, you know, in our light of our world today. But what does it mean when we continue to reflect in this season as Jesus the Son? And some of you may have a really good understanding, and when we talk about this, when you hear me say something like He was the Son of God, some of you have a really good grasp and a really good understanding of this. And some of you, I imagine, are still kind of wrestling it out and thinking it through and trying to understand a little bit about what it is when we say Jesus is the Son. But if I can give you a little bit of a summary just to start with before we read this passage, I think as Christians, and we appreciate something when we are willing to declare Jesus as the Son, it compels us and demands us to be bold and humble at the same time. It demands us to be bold, not in an arrogant, outspoken way, because that's not our nature, but it demands us to be bold in our conviction. Because when we say Jesus is the Son, we're saying here is hope for a world to be healed. There is hope for restoration and for healing and for salvation. So it demands and compels us as Christians to be bold in that sense, in our conviction. But at the same time, it forces us to remain humble. Because we remember Jesus the Son and His very beginnings, and the very fact that He came as a man reminds us of what it meant for Him to come humanly and what it means for us to remain humble in that. And so there's a lot that we can get from this. There's a lot that we can take from this idea of Jesus being the Son. And there's a whole range of scriptures that I want us to reflect on and ponder on this morning. But the passage I want to start with is a passage that Jesus asked His disciples. He asked them a very specific question. And perhaps it was a turning point in the ministry of Jesus because and what was to continue after this question and this conviction that Peter was to speak as revealed by God to him. And this becomes quite pivotal, I think, to what we're talking about this morning. So in Matthew chapter 16 from verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples and said to them, who do men actually say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, not that Jesus would have meant this, but it's like He's saying to them, what's the goss, you know? What's happening? What are people saying about me? So they said, some are saying John the Baptist, that you're John the Baptist. Some are saying Elijah, of course, and others are Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And that's interesting because they're sharing with him what people are saying, what people are communicating among themselves. Oh, maybe he's Jeremiah, or maybe he's Elijah the prophet, or maybe he's John the Baptist, you know. And so they're sharing with Jesus. They're answering His question, aren't they? What are people saying? And then, of course, I think in the fashion that Jesus, in who He was and what He wanted, He was particularly interested now in what they thought. Were they listening to people? Were they maybe being influenced by people? Persuaded by people? And He was interested in what they had to say. Okay, now you've told me what everyone's saying, but what I'm asking you is, and He says to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? So Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen, the anointed, the Son of the living God. That's powerful. That's what I want to try and share with you a little bit this morning. As you are the Christ, We know you're anointed. We know that you were chosen. We know that you were sent by God. But even more than that, you are the Son of the living God. Uniquely His and for us, coming into this world to save us. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And I want you to reflect on that for a moment with me. What Jesus is saying to Simon is this: you don't know this because somehow you thought of it. You don't know this because somehow you're smarter than the rest of them, wiser than the rest of them, more learned than the rest of them. Because you know this truth because it's been revealed to you. It's been given to you, been declared to you by God Himself. And that's very significant. Because what we believe and what we hold on to in our convictions today is not a conviction because we have learned it through people, churches, denominations, Bible colleges. What we've learned and what we've grown to understand today is Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, a very, very bold statement, is a conviction that's come because God Himself has revealed it to us. And God Himself has made it known to us. That God Himself wants us to understand and to live by it. So let me share you some thoughts with you, and we'll come back to this passage in a moment. When we talk about Jesus being the Son of God, or Jesus the Son of the living God, I want you to think firstly with me, this didn't just pop into existence. It wasn't like the disciples were walking around one day and it's like, "Oh, look, Jesus." Jesus the Son of God had very, very humble earthly beginnings, didn't he? His whole existence began in a very humble way. It wasn't something that he came into this earth with a big lightning flash, riding on a horse, and God saying to everyone, "This is my son." He could have. It wouldn't have been the right way to do it. But what God did and what God chose, that his own son, the Son of the living God, would start his earthly ministry, have his earthly time with very humble beginnings. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2 that God made him, listen carefully, a little lower than the angels. That is crazy. That what God chose to do with his son, the Son of the living God, was to make him even lower, a little lower than the angels. What this does, my friends, is that it keeps us, and it ought to keep us, very grounded and very humbled in the way we think of ourselves. It must do this to us. The Son of God began his whole ministry in a very humble earthly way. And when we begin to understand and grasp this concept that he himself wasn't someone that was sat on a throne as a child or an infant, but was placed in a manger and then worshipped in a manger, helps us understand something about how we must never move away from the understanding that if the Christ or the Son of the living God began with very humble, in a very humble earthly way, that we ourselves should never move from this idea of maintaining a humility in our own hearts. If he was prepared to go to this extent, we surely, it should be us, for us, something we aspire and want to be all the time. From the humble beginnings of a manger to the humiliation of a cross, there wasn't a lot about Jesus that people could look and think, "Oh, he could be proud." From a status point of view, yet he was worthy of worship because he was the Son of God. You know, I find it always interesting with humility and how Jesus' example to us was such a beautiful example of humility. It's always really fascinating to me the struggle people have with humility. And I think for us as Christians, if we're really serious about this, we just continue to look to Jesus. We look to Jesus, the Son of the living God, and we think, my goodness, if Jesus, the Son of the living God, lived his life like this, then that's the life I want to model. But I always find it fascinating that people struggle with humility, in particular, humility to those they love the most. Why is it that to those that we love the most and to those that we are closest with, that we find ourselves less willing to be humble and more tempted to be proud? Why is it that perhaps we are more relaxed with our humility to those we're closest to and to those we love the most? When we look at the life of Jesus and his relationship with his disciples, it didn't change. Those he was closest to were those he was prepared to wash the feet of. Does that make sense? Perhaps if we as Christians decided that we would first make a decision to be humble to those we love the most, that we would guard our hearts with pride, from pride, towards those we are closest to, our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, that we would actually decide they are closest to me and they deserve the best of my humility, rather than some random who sees us all nice and humble in the street. Oh, isn't he so humble? Isn't she so humble? And then we go home, it's like... What if we decided, like Jesus, to be most humble to those we most loved? To show most humility towards those that we were most in love with? What if we turned it on its head? If we did, we would model Christ, wouldn't we? We would be Christians. And so when Jesus lived his life, he began and ended it. He began in an earthly sense with humility. He ended with humility and was all things humble in between. To say that he is the Son is a very bold statement, and it will offend people. To call Jesus the Son of God will offend people. But we can be bold because it's not revealed by human knowledge, it's revealed by God. And when we declare Jesus to be the Son of God, we do a few things. Let me share with you a few things that we do. Just by the very fact that we're prepared to say that Jesus is the Son of God, and as we come up to this time and season where we celebrate the birth of Christ, what we're celebrating is God sending his Son into this world. We don't just, when we say that he is the Son of God, we're not just saying the Son. We are declaring many things in saying that. You probably know these things, but let me share them with you. When we're declaring that Jesus is the Son of God, we are declaring that he is equal with God. We know that. When Jesus spoke about him and the Father being one, the Jewish population at that time understood clearly what he was saying. They had an issue with him, not necessarily because of the works he was doing, but because he was claiming himself to be equal with God. That was a big statement. My Father and I are one, he said. He's my Father, I'm his Son, we're one. Because he claims to be the Son of God and the Father being his Father, they interpret that and they understood it in the understanding of that time that he was making himself equal with God. That's bold. It wasn't like he was one of the sons of God. It wasn't like he was one of the prophets of God. He was claiming to be the Son of God. And they knew that, and that made him angry. When we declare Jesus to be the Son of God, we're declaring something also very specific, that God doesn't have any others. He's uniquely God's and uniquely given by God. He's one of the kind, or one of a kind. He's not amongst many. And that's why the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, or one and only Son. That if you today believe in him, you don't perish, but have everlasting life. That statement is so bold because it's saying at the exclusion of everyone else, that if you believe in him, the Son of the living God, Not if you believe in yourself or believe in someone else or believe in a thing or believe in an idea, but you believe in the Son of God. So it's a very bold statement that we're compelled as Christians to make, because it's the hope of humanity to be restored and healed and saved. They cannot be saved any other way. They are saved through faith in the Son of God. When we declare Jesus to be the Son of God, we're also declaring something else. We're declaring that He understands what it means to be human. And that's a very important idea of this kind. Yes, we are declaring that He's one of a kind. Yes, we are declaring that He is uniquely God's, given by God. Yes, we are declaring there's no one else that can save humanity. But what we're also declaring is that He gets me. He understands me. He's the Son of God. He came being able to sympathize, Hebrews 4 says, with our weaknesses. He gets that. He felt it. He walked it. He heard the criticisms. He experienced the backlash. He knew what it meant to be unloved and unforgiven. He experienced these things and He endured these things so that He can now help me through these things. You get that? Because He's the Son of God. He came humanly to get us who are human. In fact, the Bible goes a step further in Hebrews 5, and get this, if you haven't really reflected on this verse, you should. He says, He learned as a son, He learned obedience through the things He suffered. How do you get your head around that? That as a son, humanly, in this earth, on this earth, living for our sakes, becoming the Savior of this world, He had to go through a process of suffering in this life that He would learn obedience so that we could model in His footsteps. So yes, He became the Son of God. He's declared the Son of God. He saves the world because He's the Son of God, and He gets me in the process that I can come to Him with all my temptations and humanness and say, Lord, rescue me. And He does. And He does. And that's why as Christians, when we declare Him to be the Son of God, we are being very bold and humble at the same time. Bold in our conviction and humble knowing who we really are before Him. And so when we celebrate Christmas, boy, for us it's more than just gifts and family and presents, isn't it? And while those things are incredibly beautiful, we remember, revealed by God, that He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. When we declare Jesus to be the Son, not only does it compel us to be bold and reminds us to be humble, but it demands our faithfulness. It demands our faithfulness because what we're saying is that He is the Son, and therefore I will be willing to absolutely surrender to Him at the exclusion of everyone else. Did you get that? Do I need to say that again? That because He is the Son of God, I am prepared to be in absolute surrender to Him at the exclusion of everything else. Did you get that? It's like when I think of my wife, my love, my devotion, my affection, my everything. Everything that is me is hers at the exclusion of everyone else. Do you get that? I don't dabble and play with any other woman. Why? Because she is mine, I'm hers. It's at the exclusion of everybody else. And when I declare Jesus to be the Son of God, that I'm saying there's no other Son, there's no other Savior, there's no other hope for humanity, there's no other hope for me. And so I worship and surrender to Him with an absolute mindset at the exclusion of everything else. So when Jesus was walking with Peter on the water and Peter began to sink and he grabbed his hand and they ended up in the boat. And as soon as they got in the boat, the Bible tells us the wind ceased, didn't it? What happened straight after that? The Bible says, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him. Listen, worshipped Him, saying, what? Truly, You are the Son of God. that what he had just, what they had just seen and what he had just done to Peter was worthy of worship. Now, in the Jewish mind, you don't worship, listen carefully, you don't worship any other thing but God. Because in their mind, God is one. Do you get that? You would never be caught in idolatry worshipping other gods. And here he is, the wind ceases, they're in the boat, Peter's safe, and they come and worship him and say, truly, you are the Son of God. Do you see why we are to be bold? Not outspoken, not arrogant, but bold in our conviction. When we declare Jesus to be the Son, we also encourages us to live as his family. Isn't it Hebrews that says that he's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters? Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters because we're family with the Son. We serve the same Father. We honor the same God. We live under the same will of the Father in heaven. And so much so that not out of a disrespect for his own family, but so much so Jesus was trying to highlight this to the extent that when he was talking to the crowds and his own literal family wanted to come and speak to him, they came up to him and said, look, you know, outside is your mum and your brothers and your sisters, that he wanted to highlight this point so much that he says, well, who in fact are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? Didn't he? And because he wanted not out of disrespect to his family, but to remind people that as the Son, he's now got a family that has a spiritual significance to it. He looks around to all the people that were listening to him and said, here they are. These are my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters. Because anyone who does the will of my Father is my mother, my brother, and my sister. Now, you might look at that and think, that's nice. That's really kind of him. That's really cute. But I want you to think about something. What he's saying is this. Whoever does the will of my Father, just like me, as a son, then they become my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters. We have a connection, not just because they've made a decision, because they are committed to following the same will that I'm following, the will of my Father. Do you understand? And so we're family. So when we declare Jesus to be the Son of God, we are also saying that we are declaring openly that we will live as a family member of Jesus because we will live in the same obedience to the Father that is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, friends, when we say Jesus is the Son of God, we are saying more than he's just the Son. I hope I'm relaying that. We are saying a whole lot more that just transforms our life, demands our faithfulness, compels us to be humble, needs us to be bold. And with Christmas around the corner, we would do well to reflect on this and make it our joy and habit to remind ourselves of who the Son of the living God is. So I'll finish with this. Famous passage from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, isn't it? And for unto us a son is given. Given because we couldn't get. Given because it was beyond our human reach. Given because we could never find it ourselves. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Some 2,000 years before Jesus was even born. And the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I pray this morning your heart yearns for the Son of God. That your heart wants to grow in a conviction that makes you bold, both bold and humble. That will demand your humility, that will compel you to be faithful as his brother or sister. But to give you access to the one who is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Because if he's just a name to you, then it's really nothing at all. He is the Son of the Living God. Peter got it because it was revealed to him. And I pray this morning we get it. As God continues to reveal to us, it is more than just a name. He is the Son of the Living God. That's got to move us. It's going to compel us to do what he's called us to do. So when you hear Merry Christmas, let your heart rejoice that what you're being merry about is the Son of the Living God. Yeah? The Son of the Living God. Let's bow our heads to pray. This morning as we come before the Lord and just before we sing our final song together, the Son of the Living God has continued his work from all generations till now. We've heard it amongst the young or the next gen. For many of us in this room, we've experienced the love of the Son through the way he's come and shown us his mercy and his grace through the forgiveness of our own sins. But the Son of God himself has turned us from being people of pride, or ugly pride rather, to those who walk in humility as part of his family, being faithful to the one we worship. This morning I pray that we would continue in this season to work really hard to shift our minds consistently, continually, away from just the merriness of the season, which is absolutely beautiful, and all the festivities which are lovely to be part of, but to be very conscious of remembering that in all this we are celebrating the Son of the Living God. The Son of the Living God. We're going to hear a lot over the next week and a bit about the birth of Jesus. We're going to hear it in the streets. We're going to see it in the shops. We're going to hear it at church. And they're all good things. Let us be conscious to remember what they're all doing. And what they all should be doing is pointing to the Son of the Living God. And that should rejoice our hearts. You hear a Christmas carol, let it rejoice your heart. Oh, there's the Son of the Living God. Come, let us adore him. The Son of the Living God. Someone says Merry Christmas here at the shops. They're pointing to the Son of the Living God. And that should make your heart jump and leap. Because it's changed our lives. He has changed our lives. This morning, if he hasn't and you don't know him, there's an opportunity for you to know the Son of the Living God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And today he is the same as he always was and always will be, the Savior of this world, that you may come and experience what only the Son can give you. That's the restoration of your soul. We're going to join in a final song together and then we'll pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for revealing to us the Son of the Living God. It is our hearts, we adore him, we love him, we are thankful for him, and it's all our life we give to him. Bless your word to our hearts this week. Carry us and guide us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.